Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Insight Podcast in Focus. Today, I'm at the first day of the Board of Healthcare Funders Conference. I'm with Dr. Masike. Doctor, welcome to our podcast.
Thank you for having us.
No, thank you. Thank you. Yeah. Just fresh off the stage, how was your talk?
Well, I'm told it was good. I got a lot of questions, more than the other speakers, but I tried my best to answer. I've been around the healthcare space, so I'm expected to have some answers.
No, true. Yeah. I feel like the question time wasn't long enough. I think there were a few more questions.
Oh, is that why you have me here? You wanted to ask me more questions?
Yeah, no, I think fortunately for me, I get you to myself. The others weren't
okay,
answers like that.
Okay.
So, Taka, I guess maybe before we get into the talk, just tell us a little bit about yourself, your current role, some of your professional background, just to give the listeners a bit of context about who you are.
I'm Mahume Masike. I'm a medical doctor by profession. I qualified as a medical doctor in 1986. I further did a master's in business administration. I'm currently doing a PhD in public health and hope to finish this year. It's not easy, but I'm trying my best. Yes, I was a mayor of my city, Klerksdorp. I became an MEC of my province. I was also a director of healthcare for an IT company called Oracle. But I was also a general practitioner both in the Free State and in the Northwest. And I'm currently the registrar of the Health Professions Council of South Africa. That's me in a nutshell.
Okay. Very
distinct. I'm married with 3 children and a beautiful wife.
Okay. No, lovely. I think of all the things that I think you've highlighted, I think the last one, the family part, is probably by far the most important.
Thank you.
And I think maybe just to maybe get into your talk a little bit.
Yeah.
The title of the overall session is Aligning with Universal Health Coverage and Health Reform. Can you maybe just give us just a quick summary about your talk, and then we'll...
Yes. Well, the talk focuses on the regulatory environment. The one thing that practitioners out there in the communities of the society, they must understand, is that the regulatory framework is not static. It changes all the time. I can give an example of artificial intelligence. How do you regulate artificial intelligence when technology changes almost daily? And therefore, we are going to have an MOU with SAHPRA, the South African Products Health Regulatory Body, to make sure that as they agree that this kind of product must come into South Africa, we must also be able to say the skills to be able to use that technology is this one. I can give an example, for instance. You cannot have somebody buying a machine that does a prostatectomy when the practitioner cannot do the prostatectomy. So there must be regulations.
Yeah.
That's what we are doing. That's our job.
Yeah.
So it cannot be stated, because in 1986, when I qualified, there was no artificial intelligence.
Yeah.
There is now. And I am the regulator. I need to be up to date. I need to know about it and be able to apply the rules properly to guide the profession and protect our communities. That's our job. And that's the mainstay of my presentation today, to understand that we are not static. We move with the times. Although technology advances very quickly, we are a little bit on the slow side to catch up. But no, we are trying our best.
I think a key part of your talk, I guess something that will stick in a lot of us who listen to it, is, you know, you had a nice video up about working together, leaning on each other. I think you spoke a little about SAHPRA. I mean, how much of a difference does it make when there's collaboration in the regulatory environment?
It's just a good one. I mean, we collaborate with the South African Police Services, for instance, and we are able to nab bogus doctors. We collaborate with practitioners. We collaborate with patients. We give them our number out there, and they're able to pick up bogus doctors, even if we may not have been there. But we are able to kickstart investigations. We are able to work with the Pharmacist Council. When there's a bogus combination of both practitioners, the pharmacist and the doctor and others, we are able to collaborate with the Nursing Council, for instance, when there are some nurses involved. I'm able to collaborate with the ombudsman. We signed a collaboration agreement. Professor Taula, for instance, he was in my office, so that we know that we are in this regulatory challenge together to bring solutions and make sure that the healthcare industry in our country becomes second to none in the world.
I mean, quite an interesting number you quoted in your presentation was, you quoted a number of $50 billion.
Yes.
Which is either spent in healthcare on either bogus medicines, bogus doctors, and so on. I mean, how do you tackle that? Because, you know, you've got a, I mean, you mentioned that it's quite syndicated. So, I mean, as a regulator, how do you deal with sophisticated criminals?
Oh, good question. You know, it's a syndicate. It's a syndicate of smart people. It's not just an ordinary syndicate.
Mm.
So you need to be able to have an intelligence community. And I'm not talking about the Department of Intelligence. I'm talking about you. I'm talking about journalists out there who'll pick up things, who'll ask questions.
Mm.
I'm talking about ordinary patients out there, ordinary old people who say, but this injection is holding, is not as good as the one. Is this the same doctor? You know, how come this doctor does not understand my illness today? So the level of sophistication is such that we have to up our game as well and be equally sophisticated. And that is why we have offices in Cape Town, East London and Durban and Pretoria, and influence the intelligence community to be able to get as much information as possible to know that we are not dealing with small people here. We are dealing with big people. How do you get them to have fake medication to get into the industry?
Yeah.
Who is dying? How do you treat TB with fake medication? It means you'll never be able to cure that patient.
Yep.
How do you get fake malaria tablets? It means you'll never be able to. It's who is dying? It's our people. Mm. And we must be at the forefront as the soldiers against corrupt medication, against the syndicates, to be able to make sure that we help our people.
Mm.
That's the point. Mm. It's compassion.
I mean, just on that, on the syndicates, I think one of the points you mentioned was that, you know, HPCSA is a not-for-profit.
Yes.
Well, as a lot of these syndicates are commercial entities. So, I mean, how do you bridge that? Because, you know, you've got a, you know, from a funding perspective, I mean, how do you bridge that gap? Because on the one end, you know, you'll have some budgetary constraints in terms of surveillance, what you can do. How do you see yourself bridging that gap?
We're selling a value proposition. We're saying to our practitioners that we believe in meritocracy. We believe in quality. And we believe in excellence. And once we begin to win a critical mass of like-minded people to transform society, to buy into this value system, we believe that we can defeat them. It's not just about the money.
Mm.
It is equally about what you stand for as a practitioner, what you stand for as a person, to say that you will do no crime and you will report crime when you see it. You believe that you need good doctors for this country. You believe in meritocracy. You believe in quality. You believe in excellence. Once we are able to get that critical mass of like-minded people who believe in this value system, we will defeat the people with the money.
Okay.
No. Especially criminals. Yeah. We sure will defeat them.
And I guess maybe just before we wrap up, I guess the one that we touched on a little bit earlier is AI.
Yes.
You know, it's a, as a regulator, I know you touched a bit in your talk, but I mean, how do you navigate this? I mean, it's a new world.
It's a new world.
So, I mean, how do you keep abreast? How do you, you know, how do you regulate in this new world that didn't exist 5-6 years ago?
I had a slide that, that showed how technology is beginning to affect healthcare.
Mm.
I have to read as a person.
Mm.
I have to be in touch with the people in the industry, especially in the artificial intelligence space. I speak to a number of companies. Oracle is one of them. I speak to a number of consultants. My own son has just got a job as an artificial intelligence consultant for IBM, my own son, in the house.
Mm.
So I've got consultants and knowledge around, and I keep on reading as well to keep up.
Yep.
But also attend conferences on regulations in the healthcare industry when it comes to artificial intelligence. And that helps me a lot and helps the country as well.
No, thank you. I mean, it's a, I can imagine, you know, this, I think about when I was at university, you know, this world didn't exist. I mean, you're telling me, I think a bit earlier on, you graduated 86.
For the first time, yes.
That's
my first degree, yes.
That's a while ago. I mean,
that's a while ago. Yeah. I'm not as young as I am. Yeah. No.
But I think, you know, from our side, I think, no, thanks for taking time to come to the podcast.
All right. Thank you very much.
Your service. I think you're in your second stint of public service. You know, the mayor was the first one.
Yes.
This is the second one. And we're really grateful for people like you.
Thank you very much.
Make our country better.
We try. We'll keep on trying. You must also join us so that you get that critical mass of like-minded people to transform society.
No,
thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.